the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Abair. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Mm-hmm. This last day of August. We're hanging on to it, but
yeah,
not much longer.
We are.
Let's let go of the heat, though. I'd be glad to see that go.
Yes.
I'm with you, Johnny.
Hey, you know, on this day, we are remembering Saints Joseph of Arimathea. As you may remember, he was the one who had the tomb in which Jesus was laid, and Nicodemus, so both who encountered our Lord personally, directly. So we're remembering, or asking for their intercession today, right? So let's call on them to get our day started in prayer, in fact. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful witnesses of Saints Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, men with a teachable spirit. We pray that like Joseph and Nicodemus, we may have a teachable spirit and to be prepared to come to you with all of our needs and all of our questions. Help us not to trust in our own understanding, knowing that you not only have the answer, but that you are the answer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus,
pray for us.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, we have a great show for you today, starting off with Johnny's Gospel Reflection. That'll be in just a few moments. Peter Finney joins us in 18 minutes. He is the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, and he'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And I have to say, stay tuned for Peter's segment. He has some great stories, great news, and we are excited to talk to him about all of this. In 35 minutes, Father Bryce Higginbotham joins us. He's a priest of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau, and he's going to be talking about vocations and his call to the priesthood. And I have to say, Father Bryce is a firecracker, and just I like to say he's that cup of coffee in the morning. He just wakes you up. He's just full of energy and joy. So it's going to be a great segment with Father Bryce. In 48 minutes, Brian Broussard joins us. He's a program director of a program with the Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans called Foster Grandparent Program. He's going to give us details about this and their need for the children in the foster care system in the area. So it's going to be a really good informative segment, Alicia, with Brian. Looking forward to that one as well.
Be great. It's a great program for grandparent volunteers. So I'm looking forward to talking with him about that. So, okay, the weather was just strange yesterday. That's the only thing I'm going to say. So there was a line of rain that came through late yesterday afternoon, evening, down Baton Rouge, New Orleans area. And it brought relatively drier air. And I say relatively, that's a technical form or weather casting title. But anyway, so that means that there should be less chance of coverage of storms today. So we'll see that chance. It's going to be mostly sunny in our listening areas. And there's that slight chance, 10 to 20% in most of our listening area, that there's a chance of thunderstorms late afternoon. That's kind of our typical summer weather pattern. But that's a pretty small chance today. So we'll see how that goes. That's late afternoon into the evening hours. Again, the temperature will climb up to the upper 80s and lower 90s today. It is 75 degrees currently in Baton Rouge and in Bush, Louisiana. It is 74 degrees in Biloxi, and the hot spot is New Orleans at 81 degrees. So it'll be a warm one already. We'll be back this morning with our gospel from Father Chris Decker, and Johnny Abair will share his reflection on the gospel. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 4. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, this place where the where the miracle today took place, fortunately, Jan and I were able to go there and actually see this site. And today there's a modern church built on top of this, and you kind of look down in and see where Peter and his mother and his wife, his mother-in-law, lived, and Jesus also was there. And that was discovered back in 1968. But I don't know if you guys saw the news, the story that came out last week, very related to this. A potentially a huge additional discovery was announced, and it may be the childhood home of Peter and Andrew, where Peter was born, basically. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
no.
This is in an area called the El Araj archaeological site, and they think that it may be actually the town, the lost town of Bethsaida. But what was really amazing about this discovery, you know, is that as they were kind of digging down, they saw this mosaic floor all of a sudden appear under the silt. As they started scraping away more and more and more, they found this inscription on it. And here's what it said. It asks for the intercession of St. Peter, the intercession of St. Peter. And it referred to him as the chief and commander of the heavenly apostles. Now think about that. Mm-hmm. Chief and commander of the heavenly apostles, these professors said, you know, this is how the Byzantine Christians refer to Peter, and only to Peter, not to any other apostle. So stop, think about this. There's proof of several things here, right? First, the accuracy of the New Testament, because more and more archaeology seems to confirm it for those that even doubt that Jesus lived. Second, that Peter was indeed given primacy over the other apostles, our first pope, as the church has always maintained. And third, it's obvious that, you know, Peter had been martyred by this time, that the intercession of the saints was common, as Catholics have always maintained since the very, very beginning. But that brings us back to the gospel, though. You know, just imagining then, you know, that dirt beneath your feet and touching the walls, the carved prayers and things like that, standing on the soil where the Son of God, the creator of the universe, was that... And you can see Jesus now in this gospel today starting to show that divine authority. And you think about that, this power of love that was witnessed by so many. Can't help but think of Luke, for example, who's a doctor, right? And he knew what a fever was, knew what a major fever was. So he knew Peter's mother-in-law had, he couldn't do anything for her, for example. This was beyond medical help. And he witnesses Jesus doing something extraordinary. What I found extraordinary, he rebukes the fever. Rebukes. That word rebuke, he put it in place. He admonished it. He banished it. You have to say, how does a human being do that? I guess only God can command the microbes, you know. And then we see Jesus healing everyone as the sun sets, which shows kind of the closing of the Old Testament. And now he must be completely irritating Satan, because the demons now come out and they recognize him right away. Again, a divine indication here where they call him the Son of God. And the demons, you know, profess it. The crowds hear this. And then Jesus brings out the rebuke gun again. And this theme running through the rebuke thing. He literally makes him shut up. How does a human being silence a demon? You know, only God has that kind of power. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on the move, you know, bringing the kingdom of God, and sinners rejoice, and the demons must now really be trembling. So I started thinking about that word rebuke and how Jesus used it to apply it. And I said, can I have some of that? Can I have some of that rebuke? I want to rebuke COVID, abortion, those right. persecuting Christians, those attacking religious mm-hmm. freedoms, you know, crime, socialism, gender theory, all these things I want to go rebuke. And then I thought that I can't do anything. It's the authority of Jesus that has that power. And that Jesus even rebuked Peter at one point, at which point I then said, oh my goodness, it's probably me that needs some rebuking. I mean, I can't warn or admonish anybody or anything in good conscience until certain vices in me are rebuked. That being said, you know, there is a call here for us today to allow the Holy Spirit to, through the church militant, as we say, to amplify the truth and shame the lies mm-hmm. and do that in His name. And just as Jesus told the demons to shut up, we have the duty to call on the power of Jesus to allow the truth of the Gospels to be proclaimed in our culture today. Because just as then, today Satan seems to be espousing all kinds of lies, doesn't he? And distortions mm-hmm. about what is good and holy and true, turning basically morality upside down. And it's we Christians who are told to shut up. It's a strange mm-hmm. turnaround. And strangely, we do it. More afraid of being canceled by the world than being judged by God. And that obviously needs to change. So Jesus takes off today from Capernaum to proclaim the kingdom of God. And we need to do the same, to take off about our comfortable level, basically, maybe our comfortable towns as these airwaves go across, to let Him heal, yes, but to let Him rebuke and reclaim the culture. Because I mean, the bottom line is the resurrection happened and it's too late to cancel it. He's mm-hmm. out of the grave. We should do that in love. So anyway, a lot of rebuking going on today. And again, I'd love to have some of it, but the fingers kind of turned on me first. Powerful story today.
Yes, very
yes,
nice.
Yes, and you know what? It made me think about a celebrity, Zoe Kravitz, said the other day, it's a scary time in our world today to have an opinion. How true is it? So, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Johnny. So thank you so much for that reflection.
Yeah, we got some great news coming up next. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald is going to join us for an update and some really in this week's issue of Clarion Herald and his thoughts on that news. It's now 4:15.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 31st. Today we celebrate Saints Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The actions of these two influential Jewish leaders give us insight into the charismatic power of Jesus and His teachings, and the risks that could be involved in following Him. Joseph was a respected, wealthy civic leader who had become a disciple of Jesus. Following the death of Jesus, Joseph obtained Jesus' body from Pilate, wrapped it in fine linen, and buried it. For these reasons, Joseph is considered the patron saint of funeral directors and pallbearers. More important is the courage Joseph showed in asking Pilate for Jesus' body. Jesus was a condemned criminal who had been publicly executed. According to some legends, Joseph was punished and imprisoned for such a bold act. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and, like Joseph, an important first-century Jew. We know from John's Gospel that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night, secretly, to better understand His teachings about the kingdom. Later, Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus at the time of His arrest and later assisted in Jesus' burial. We know little else about Nicodemus. The men whose feast we celebrate today were rewarded for their struggle to understand and embrace the words of Jesus. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And it's good to be with you on Wake Up This Morning, 18 past the hour on this last day of August. We know it's that time of year because I'm not sweating in the shade, at least. That's a good thing, I guess. So, but there's a lot of great news out there today. And wow, we're really excited to have Peter Finney, who is the general manager and editor with the Clarion Herald this morning with a lot going on. I'm not sure how he's going to stuff all this in one issue, but we're going to find out. Good morning, Peter.
Well, hey, Johnny, it's not even in this issue because the issue went to bed on Monday. But, of course, the incredible news was yesterday, Sister Sue Ellen Tennyson, who had been in captivity from her her missionary convent in Burkina Faso in Africa. For nearly 5 months, she's been recovered, and she is safe. And she is, as Sister Anne LaCour of the Marianites said, we're just praising God. She spoke to her yesterday on the phone. She said she's worn out, but she is safe. And she just told Sister Sue Ellen, we want you to come back as soon as you can. And I'm sure that she's going to take a little time to recover and be there. And then, but she'll be headed back to the New Orleans area very soon. And it's an incredible story because not one word really was heard in these 5 months after she was abducted. And so there were so many thousands of people who were praying for her across the world, really. And she's been you know, recovered. It's incredible. So we're so grateful to God for her safe release, and we just anticipate with joy, you know, her return to us.
Oh yeah, we had a celebrations are probably our receptions are probably already being planned, although I know she must be worn out, but praise God. Of course, she is from Kenner originally, and
that's right.
Really excited that she's being returned to us safe and sound. Oh, that's fantastic news, Peter.
It's incredible, you know, news. It really is an answer to prayer.
Yeah, and you know, and there's so many other local people, also not just in local news, but in national news. Understand it. I was listening to Teresa Tomeo yesterday. I got a chance to hear this interview with David Scotton, attorney in our area, and his adoption story. So you're covering that. Tell us about that story, yes. Dave. Peter?
Yeah, David went to Jesuit High School, and as part of a pro-life essay contest, he wrote an essay about his own personal story about having been adopted as a young child. And he also made a talk about it at school. The talk kind of got out, and it was published in the Clarion Herald and other places. And so word started to spread. And his birth mother, through a long series of events, he was able to get in touch with his birth mother. And as it turns out, his birth mother had visited an abortion clinic and had planned to have an abortion, until when she got there, she said something just didn't feel right, and she left. And so obviously gave birth, and then gave up David for adoption to a wonderful New Orleans family. And he writes about, you know, that heroic gift of his birth mother to give birth to him. And there was a documentary that was done about his story and about his life. And Kirk Cameron, who's a Christian actor, got wind of the documentary and said, we've got to make this into like a full-length movie. And lo and behold, the movie is now complete, and it's called Life Mark, and it will make its local premiere in the New Orleans area on September the 9th. So for September 9th to the 15th, the movie will be in several area movie theaters. It's called Life Mark, and they're encouraging people to attend because we will have a longer life, especially if you have early success at the box office. But it's a great story about life and making a decision for life. And David has really preached that really all through his career. He's now an attorney, a local attorney, and very much involved in the pro-life movement.
Wow! I mean, this is, how do you pick the timing any better? The Lord really did this, you know, at the time they were putting together, they didn't know that Roe v. Wade would be overturned, and now we're looking for all these options for women, and here comes this beautiful adoption story, and here the story is locally.
That's right.
Well, that's wonderful. You mentioned it's going to be available that schedule, Peter. Where could we find where? Theaters in our various listening areas.
Well, we have that on. We have that. It'll be online right now on the website, but it's going to be at the AMC West Bank Palace in Harvey, the AMC Elmwood in Elmwood and Harahan. People know where that is, and the Movie Tavern in Covington. So those are three places locally in the New Orleans area where it will be. So
wonderful.
You can just call them for their times and showing times.
That's great. Well, these are one of those things where you can get your parish together, your groups, your life groups together, any ministry groups together, and kind of support these kinds.
I do want to make one point. We are interviewing David Scotton on Friday, and we are doing a movie ticket giveaway to any movie theater that our listeners are located. So if you're on the New Orleans area, Baton Rouge, New York, wherever you are, stay tuned for Friday's interview with David. We'll be doing a movie ticket giveaway for Lifemark.
Wonderful. That's great news. You know, also in the news, I mentioned we're celebrating my mom's 90th birthday coming up, but there's another very prominent, young, diminutive in size, but powerful in spirit, friend of ours. Talk about him in the issue.
Yeah. Later. He's an amazing man. Archbishop Alfred Hughes, who was Archbishop of New Orleans, of course, you know, during Katrina. Hard to believe, but he will turn 90 in December, and he is still going strong. To see his schedule, he rides his bike to Audubon Park regularly. He swims every day in the summer in the Notre Dame Seminary pool. But then he's a spiritual director, not only to seminarians, but to priests and religious. He said he had to cap it at 30. So he's a spiritual director for 30 people. And then on Friday afternoons, he goes to Project Lazarus, which is the archdiocesan shelter for homeless men and women who have AIDS. And he spends Friday afternoon with them, talking to them, you know, praying with them, listening to them. And his schedule is incredible. He just talks about, you know, he reflects on what happened during Katrina, because it's 17 years ago around this time of, you know, year when it happened. And he talked about how alone he felt in the Adoration Chapel, asking God for what should I do. And he said, he just said, God did not really answer at that moment, but he felt God's presence, and he felt like that's what God was telling him. Just be present to the people after Katrina, and that's what he tried to do. And he talks about how tough it is in this day and age about everybody yelling at each other on social media. And he says, it's so important for us as Catholics to create a space, a quiet time every day, to really delve into the Bible and to pray and ask for God's message to you. What can I do to be a light to the world? And that's what he recommends for people who may be burdened with everything that's going on in the world. Create this quiet time every day and have this relationship with God through your prayer and through your spiritual reading. So he's got so much wisdom. He's a great guy, and he's just a tremendous, tremendous person.
He's our Yoda.
That's right.
You know, Peter, the gospel today, we're talking about Jesus rebuking demons. Our archdiocese is actually have some information in this issue about that, right?
Yes, and you know, obviously the movies about the rite of exorcism, it's all been sensationalized and everything, but the archdiocese has created a protocol for people who may be feeling that they have been assaulted by the devil or other demons. And it's a very very simple process. The idea is if a person feels that they may be having this assault, the first recommendation is to go see your parish priest. And that's the most important step. That's the person you contact and explain, you know, what's going on. And there's the protocol calls for different phases. Like there's a preparatory phase, which involves that. Then there's kind of an investigation phase, and then an observatory phase. So really, each diocese, and in the archdiocese, there are a few priests who are not named for obvious reasons. They are appointed by the archbishop as official exorcists, who would then, if it turned out that a person would need the rite of exorcism, this is the person who would do it, and with the authority only of the archbishop. So it's a very interesting protocol, and we have a story that kind of explains the policy as well, to kind of make it a little bit more understandable. So that's in this issue.
So interesting. And finally, we got a couple minutes left. About a minute left, Peter. I want to talk about the exciting news with the Ursuline Convent Museum. What's the good news there?
Yes. Well, on September 9th, they will be opening up an exhibit called Eternal Life, and really, it's an exhibit that highlights the uniqueness and the diversity of New Orleans Catholic burial practices and traditions. So all kind of artifacts from the cemetery's office, and explains, you know, just the different different aspects of Catholic burial tradition. So that will be at the old Ursuline Convent Museum, which is on Charter Street, about four blocks away from the cathedral, and it's going to start on September the 9th. And usually it's going to run daily from about 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 p.m. So you can get more information from the old Ursuline Convent Museum, and they'll have dates and times and everything. But it opens on September the 9th.
Wow, lots of good things happening there. It's just so good to celebrate our Catholic tradition in this in South Louisiana like this, Peter. Thanks for bringing the good news to us. Where can we pick up a copy of the Clarion Herald?
Well, Johnny, at every church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans this weekend. Also, it's online right now at clarionherald.org.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that. Well, stay with us. Thinking about the future, Father Bryce Hickenbottom joins us next about vocations. Half past the hour now. Right back.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up right here on Catholic Community Radio. Our next guest is Father Bryce Hickenbottom. He's a priest of the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau, and he's also pursuing doctoral studies in sacred scripture. And today he joins us to talk about his vocation story, calling to the priesthood. So glad to have Father Bryce join us today. Good morning.
Hey, Gabby. Good morning.
It's good to be with you. Of course, I follow you on social media. We've met a few times, but you are so busy. But, you know, today I want to talk about the call to vocations and your call to the priesthood. So if you don't mind, Father Bryce, telling us your story.
Yeah, I know we don't have a long time, so you just interrupt me if I'm talking too long, okay?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so I think the three most important things for me were people, the sacraments, and the Bible. I first experienced a desire or a something, like a little tug on my heart to being a priest when I was like really, really young, going to Catholic school. But I didn't pursue anything there, really because I was afraid of the gift of celibacy, and there was nobody who was able to like explain celibacy to me. And I was really young. I'm not sure if I'd have understood at that time anyway. But when I got to high school, I had a friend who after a hard time in my life and honestly a season of a lot of sin, said to me, Bryce, you got to go to confession. So I did. So I went to confession. I encountered Jesus in confession. There was nothing externally special about that confession. I went in, I said my sins. I was very ashamed of my sins, and it was hard to say them. But I went in, I said my sins. The priest gave me absolution, and that was that. But really, as I look back, I didn't really even notice it at the time. But as I look back, I realized that's when I chose to love Jesus more than other things. And then a couple months after that, God brought a mentor into my life who really walked with me. So he was, praise God, he was really smart and knew a lot about the faith. So he was able to answer my questions. And he started teaching me how to pray. And he started inviting me to adoration. And he accompanied me to Bible study. I had started going to confession regularly because this first friend had said, you got to do it. And she was right. And so I just started doing it and I kept doing it. And then I was going to Mass every week, which I did all my life, praise God. And then I was going to adoration. I started studying the Bible just because this friend who was mentoring me was answering my questions. And because one day, some guy stood up in catechism and quoted the first part of the book of John and said, hey, we're going to have a Bible study. And come on. So, three of us went to Bible study once a week, but I was one of the three and began to fall in love with Jesus. And mm-hmm. that was the key for me. So, with the encouragement and support of these wonderful people in my life and encountering Jesus in the sacraments and in the Bible, I started to fall in love with him. And so, celibacy, which had scared me when I was a little kid, as I became a senior in high school and a freshman in college, began to be less scary. scary because I had fallen in love with Jesus, I knew that he was going to provide for all my desires. I knew that if he was calling me to celibacy and then to priesthood, that I would in fact be fulfilled and be happy. I also knew that it would be very hard, but I mean, everything in this valley of tears, well, not everything, but any vocation is hard. Any vocation, any state in life that God calls us to has its challenges. So because I had fallen in love with Jesus, I was going to say, okay, Lord, here's how I said it. Lord, I don't want to be a priest, but I love you, and I am convinced that you are calling me to be a priest. So I'm going to go to the seminary. And if you really want me to be a priest, you have to, like, make this desire come up in my heart, because I know you're not going to make me do something that I hate. Like, that's not how this works, right? The state in life you've called me to is what you made me for. And yes, there are challenges, but I'll be fulfilled in that. And so I applied to the seminary. And 2 weeks later, I began to feel like a desire again to be a priest. And that desire has grown and grown in spite of the many challenges. And now I am a priest, praise God, for 5 years. And there have been many challenges and many moves and many assignments and all sorts of things. And I found like that Jesus is faithful and that he's true to his promise. Like he is here. And I'm in love with him, and like my relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. Even though, you know, sometimes I fail in that and have to repent, nonetheless, overall, like, my relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. And I wouldn't trade this state in life to which he's called me, like, for anything in the world.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay. And you're so involved with media as well. When you made those, I think it was before COVID, you made these videos to explain the parts of the Mass, the parts of the church structure, just to get people involved into the basic questions that sometimes maybe we want to ask, but we're too embarrassed because I should know that answer. But those were amazing. And you bring people in. You're also in Rome a lot. Studying and kind of bring us back to what you're doing now. So you're pursuing your doctoral studies in sacred scripture. Tell us exactly what that means and how that led you through in this part of your priesthood.
Yeah, a bunch of years ago, the bishop asked me if I would be willing to do postgraduate studies and in the Bible. And so it was simple as that. He asked and kind of actually really out of the blue, but it was a desire on my heart. And so I said yes. So I moved to Rome a year ago. I'm in Thibodeau at the moment for the summer, but I'll be going back to Rome in a few weeks. So y'all please pray for me.
Yes.
So I moved to Rome to study the Bible, and I thought that it was going to be easy and fun because I was going to be studying the Bible, which is fun, and because school, thanks be to God, has always been easy for me. Well, I got there, and it was neither easy nor fun, because the first thing I had to do was learn Greek and Hebrew and Italian. And I had studied languages before in high school, in college, in grad school, but I had never gotten to a place where I could just, like, pick up a book and read it in another language or have a conversation, like, in Italian. And, Gabby, that's hard. That takes a lot of work, which I didn't know. So it wasn't easy, nor was it fun, but boy, it was worth it. I've been praying through 1 Thessalonians in the Bible in my holy hour, mostly in Greek. And there's something like that, it just pops out and it feels different, like, to read the scriptures in the original. So I should be there for 2 or 3 more years. And the plan is just to come home, to home at Thibodeau, and to teach wherever teaching needs to be done help people, like, understand
amazing.
And know the Bible better.
Yeah, and I can tell you're really taking your lessons seriously because we're friends on Duolingo, so, and you're always working on that, so it's so good to see that. But Father Bryce Higginbotham, priest of the Diocese of Home of Thibodeau, before we let you go, we have about a minute left. May we ask for a priestly blessing from you?
Yeah, in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
With your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and show you his mercy. May the Lord look upon you kindly and bring you peace. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Amen. Father Bryce, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Gabby. It was a blessing to be with y'all.
Wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Okay, and keep up with Father Bryce as well on social media. You can follow him on Facebook, and of course, he's always on there, and keep him in your prayers as well as he continues to travel around. It's going to be great to have him back in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Okay, Brian Broussard joins us when we get back from the break. He's a program director of the Foster Grandparents Program at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It's 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I wanted to remind you it will be First Friday, this Friday, September 2nd. Stop by our Baton Rouge studio at 11924 Friday morning at 8, oh, we're going to call it 8:05-ish, for a cup of coffee and to pray the rosary with us. Again, that's in our Baton Rouge studio at 11924 Sunray Avenue. Well, I'm looking forward to visiting with Brian Broussard. He is the director of the Foster Grandparents Program with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm so excited to talk about foster grandparents. I was not familiar with this program. I can't believe just in the year, and this was a COVID year, right, 2019 to 2020, that foster grandparents recorded over 75,000 volunteer hours. What an amazing program. So tell us all about it.
Sure. So our program has been around for quite some time. It's sort of a well-kept secret, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the Foster Grandparent Program, what it is we pair volunteer senior citizens with children with developmental disabilities and delays. The Foster Grandparent Program, it provides low-income seniors with volunteer service opportunities so they can support their local children locally with socially, emotionally, and academically. Wow. It's under the umbrella of Senior Corps. The volunteers, they can volunteer their time anytime between 6 hours up to 30 hours per week, and they receive a non-taxable stipend of $3.15 an hour.
Okay.
What they do is they mentor children in their classrooms and Head Start classrooms as well as daycare centers. For about more than 35 years, foster grandparents have come into classrooms and other facilities as friends, mentors, and to help make those connections of love and support with young people. And they do that through their life experiences. They can often provide guidance and wisdom in ways that bond with kids while parents and teachers may not be able to reach them.
Wow.
The program also helps keep our seniors engaged and connected to a strong peer network, which is really helpful in those years when we saw some the impact it had during COVID when they weren't necessarily in the classrooms and they were isolating.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a few of our grandparents really decline with their motor skills, cognitive abilities, which speaks to the beauty of the program, that it keeps them engaged and active in their communities.
Yes.
Our foster grandparents, they also report improved health, well-being, and social connections. And also, like I said, they experience a decrease in feelings of isolation and depression.
Wow. That's wonderful. And so you have a large percentage of volunteers that need this interaction with the children. So tell us a little bit more about how volunteers can get involved. And I understand there's a waiting list for volunteers for this program.
It is, yes, ma'am. You can visit our website, Catholic Charities Archdiocese of New Orleans, and just go to the Foster Grandparent tab. And there you'll see my information and how to get in touch with us and how to apply. But the process is very simple. You call us, we send you an application, you send it back, and we bring you in for an interview. Then if everything goes well, we onboard you through a process of orientation and trainings, and we get you connected to in a classroom with a child that could use their time and effort.
Now, do I understand correctly that the children that are paired with foster grandparents perhaps have a special need or a different circumstance, and that's why they need that companionship?
Absolutely. Yeah, so as you may know or may not know, the teaching ratio in the classroom is pretty tight, meaning mm-hmm. that the class is pretty big for a teacher and a teacher's assistant, so it's pretty hard to work with 20 kids, if maybe one or two of them may not be on the same level or just have an exceptionality where they might just require a little bit more attention.
Okay.
And this, the, when the foster grandparents spend time with that child, it helps them. It helps the teaching team have a little bit more time with the rest of the class, as well as give that kid that might need the extra support, the love and compassion that they need, that the teacher may just not have time to give to every single student. But they certainly bring a wealth of experience, patience, and love to the classroom.
That's awesome. We're visiting with Brian Broussard. He is the director of the Foster Grandparents Program with the Catholic Charities of New Orleans in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And so let us say, so this is benefits foster, the grandparent, and the children. And I just want to be clear, this isn't a foster agreement as we think of foster care for children who need parenting.
That's right. Some people are confused about that. It's not at all associated with the foster care system. It's just a program where senior citizens can volunteer their time and mentor children with special needs and disabilities.
Okay. Wonderful. Brian, let our listeners know one more time where they can go to get more information about the Foster Grandparent Program with the Catholic Charities in the Diocese of, or Archdiocese of New Orleans, and where they can volunteer.
Sure. Please visit our website, Catholic Charities Archdiocese of New Orleans, and scroll down to the Foster Grandparent tab where you'll find the information to contact myself, and I'd be happy to give anybody information that's interested.
That's awesome. Brian Broussard, such a pleasure to visit with you about your amazing program for foster grandparents. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So again, that website is Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans is ccano.org. You can give them a call. Their number will be on the website as well. Sounds like a wonderful program. So many hours. Mm-hmm. There are foster grandparents who give between 15 and 25 hours a week in the classroom with these precious children. So it's just it sounds like a win-win to me. It's such a great benefit to students. And a great benefit, obviously, to the grandparents. Now, I just want to clarify, because this seems very young to me, but is 55 and up is considered a grandparent? So just so you know, if you're 55 and up.
A grandparent or a senior citizen?
Well, to be able to do this program, 55 and up to be a foster grandparent with the Archdiocese of New Orleans program. Yeah. So,
Yes,
it is. So, and again, there is a waiting list. So, so log on now and sign up so that you eventually can get in to be a foster grandparent in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Again, that's Catholic Charities. It's ccano.org.
Gotta love those statistics.
Right?
Yeah, sound like,
sounds great.
So much to be thankful for today. A lot of good news today.
That's
really
right, Johnny.
Excited
yeah.
about the release of Mary Knight's sister, Ellen Tennyson. Great news there. So we lift her up today. And let's go out in prayer, and we'll call on, kind of build on that spirit of gratitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that no one who truly seeks to know the truth of who you are will be denied that knowledge. For the truth of who you are was revealed and lives in sacred tradition, in your sacred scriptures, and in the hearts of all who seek to know the truth. And for this, we are truly thankful. Open our eyes to see you alive in the world, and may we grow in grace and in knowledge of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I did want to mention real quick that all of the information from our guest today can be found in the comments section for today's Facebook Live video. That's Wake Up Wednesday. Take a look at the comments. If you missed anything from today's show, feel free to message us on Facebook and we'll get that information to you. Or you can email us. You can go to our website, ccradio.live, and click on the contact button there. But thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Another full show for you. Father Nathan O'Halloran joins us from Loyola Catholic Studies. He's going to talk about the vocation of the business leader, a New Orleans symposium event. You guys, you're definitely going to want to hear information about this event. Kristen Van Uden joins us to talk about the Diary of St. Gemma. Sharon Rohde joins us to talk about the 50th anniversary of Catholic Charities Access Pregnancy Centers. And Margaret Miller with the Diocese of Biloxi talks about walking with moms in need. So a jam-packed show. It's going to be a good one. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.